approach. Perhaps the most virulent was from his fellow German philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer.
But the height of audacity in serving up pure nonsense, in stringing together senseless and extravagant mazes of words, such as had previously been known only in madhouses, was finally reached in Hegel, and became the instrument of the most barefaced general mystification that has ever taken place. This a result which will appear fabulous to posterity and will remain as a monument to German stupidity.
Schopenhauer's emotional attack suggests that more than professional judgments at work here. In fact, Hegel and Schopenhauer taught at the University of Berlin for a time, where they were bitter rivals. Schopenhauer even scheduled classes to conflict with Hegel's lectures in an attempt to upstage him. But students flocked to Hegel, leaving Schopenhauer's classroom literally empty. Schopenhauer was bitter. With Hegel obviously in mind, he said,
"Philosophers claim to be chiefly engaged in the pursuit of truth, but it is surprising how little of it they seem to find in the writings of their colleagues."
Personal vendettas aside, we can say that one of Hegel's most incisive critics was the 19th century Danish religious thinker and writer, Søren Kierkegaard. Kierkegaard had a brilliant style and psychological insight. He was a master of irony and wit. He was also the founder of what today we call existentialism, the philosophical school of thought that later was closely associated with Jean-Paul Sartre. Kierkegaard attacked both Hegel's actual system and the very idea of system itself. In Kierkegaard's own words,
"An existential system is impossible. Reality itself is a system for God, but it cannot be a system for any existing spirit."
By an existing spirit, Kierkegaard means the unique individual person situated somewhere and in some time, whose life is fraught with painful ethical decisions. Such a spirit deals with conflicting loyalties and struggles to overcome despair through religious faith. Individual life, says Kierkegaard, is not a rational system. With an ironic twist, he says, if Hegel can express reality as a system, it's only because he leaves himself out of the picture as he tries to grasp reality as it is for God. Kierkegaard sees Hegel as a thinker who's built a vast mansion of thought. But Hegel, the individual, doesn't live in that mansion. He exists instead in a little house in the back. Kierkegaard believes that a speculative system has no place for an existing individual, as we can see from the following caustic comments.
"Being an individual man is a thing that has been abolished, and every speculative thinker confuses himself with humanity at large, whereby he becomes something infinitely great, and at the same time, nothing at all. A philosophy of pure thought is for an existing individual a chimera if the truth is something to exist in. What is abstract thought? It is thought without a thinker. What is concrete thought? It is thought in relation to a thinker. And Hegelian can say with due solemnity, I do not know whether I am a human being, but I have understood the system. I, for my part, would rather say, I know that I am a human being, and I know that I have not understood the system."
Kierkegaard relentlessly attacks the idea of system, and Hegel's system in particular. To Kierkegaard, Hegel's idea that we can fully know what is abolishes the moral and religious importance of what ought to be. It removes our individual responsibility to choose between right and wrong in a moral situation. It takes away our responsibility to accept or reject God in the religious sphere. Kierkegaard makes this point by emphasizing the ethical.
"The ethical reality of the individual is the only reality. That this should seem strange to many does not seem strange to me. To me, it rather seems strange that Hegel's system, even systems in the plural, have been completed without raising a question concerning the ethical."
Hegel had died when Kierkegaard was 18 years old, so he couldn't respond to these criticisms. In any event, he had other things on his mind. Hegel believed that reality is one organic system, so he had to develop a form of reason, a logic for expressing the developing wholeness. Hegel's meaning of the term logic, and especially his much-abused term dialectic, is best understood by focusing on two points. First, Hegel holds that there's a fundamental difference between understanding and reason. Second, he believes that reason, or dialectic, has two faces. One he calls negative reason, and the other positive reason. He believes positive reason, or speculative thought, is a dialectic that's the organic and constructive form of all philosophical thinking. Western philosophers have always distinguished between two different types of thought. The first type seeks to analyze things and to grasp their distinctive features clearly.